All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 for the message this morning. And I want to encourage you to be back tonight. Our cantata is tonight. And we will start right at 6 o'clock. And so I encourage you to be here tonight and bring somebody with you. This is a great opportunity to bring guests to church and to enjoy hearing Christmas music. And then at the end, I will give the gospel and invite folks to come to Christ. So a great time for folks to get saved tonight. So I hope you'll invite folks to be with you. And then next Saturday at 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve, we'll have our candlelight service. And that service normally lasts about an hour, sometimes an hour and 5 minutes. It's not long. I have a message that I've already got ready, prepared for that, and it will be a blessing to you. So I invite you to come next Saturday, Christmas Eve. And then one service on Christmas Day, 10:45. One service, no Sunday school, no early service. So make yourself a note, those of you that are in this routine of coming to the 8:30 service. If you come at 8:30 next week, you'll be the only one here. All right? So we will have one service, and then Sunday night at 6, evening service. All right? So Isaiah chapter 9, if you will look at two verses. I'll start in verse 6 and read to you these familiar verses. And I want you to think about what I'm reading. Now, don't just say, oh yeah, I know that verse. Think about it. All right, here is Isaiah's prophecy. Now, look at me. Before I read this, let me tell you, 700 years before Christ, 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah penned these words. This is a prophecy about the coming Messiah. 700 years. Now you think about that. That's a long time. 700 years plus. And here's what Isaiah said, 700 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem's manger. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This child that came, this child that was born, this son that was given, shall be called one day. Now, right now, he's called Wonderful by us, those of us who know him as our Savior. We call him Wonderful today, but the world does not call him Wonderful today. But Isaiah said, the day is coming when everybody is going to call him Wonderful. The Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In other words, they will know who he is. Today, they don't know who he is. All right, look at verse 7. Isaiah then goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. All right, now, that's the prophecy. And I want you to look at the last line of that seventh verse. Folks, I submit to you that what Isaiah said was going to happen was it was big. And Isaiah probably wrote these words and then stood back and scratched his noggin and said, wow, God, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do what you say you're going to do? How are you going to send us a son? Jump back to chapter 7 for just a minute. Look at chapter 7 and verse 14. 7:14. Here's another prophecy Isaiah gave. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. This is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, 700 years before he came. Then in 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Now, question, look at 7:14. A virgin shall have a child. Now, folks, look at me. We're all grown-ups here. Virgins don't have babies. Right? But God said a virgin is going to have a baby. And Isaiah probably scratched his head when he got to 7:14 and he was writing along what God's Holy Spirit was giving him. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And Isaiah probably stopped right there and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Did I get that right? Because virgins don't have babies. We all know that. And Isaiah probably thought, God, how are you going to do this? How in the world is this going to happen? Well, here's how it's going to happen. Look at the last part of verse 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, you know what zeal is, right? You know what zeal is. Zeal is great energy. It is enthusiasm. It is the desire that one has to accomplish something. And Isaiah said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Folks, I submit to you that what God says in verse 6 and 7, what the prophet Isaiah said the Lord is going to do is humanly impossible for anybody to do. How's it going to get done? God's got to do it. And the zeal of the Lord, in other words, God's enthusiasm to do what he says he's going to do will bring this to pass. And that's exactly what happened when God brought the Lord Jesus into this world. Here was this virgin woman named Mary who was with child. And it scared her to death. The angel of the Lord had to come to her and say, listen, fear not. This child that you're carrying is of the Holy Spirit. This is not a human thing. This is a divine thing. And God sent his son into this world. Now look carefully at verse 6. Look at the first part. For unto us a child is born. That's the virgin birth promised. That's the virgin birth prophesied. And then he says, unto us a son is given. That's the crucifixion prophesied. So we have the birth of Christ in the first part, the cross in the second part, and then we have the second coming in the third part. He is looking at so far, at least a 2,000 year span of time, going back 2,000 years ago to the virgin birth and the cross, and now 2,000 years has passed from then until today, and the Lord has still not yet come back, but he's coming. It's what the Bible says. And then you've got 7 years of tribulation upon the earth, and then the Lord is coming back with his saints, and Christ is going to sit down upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. You say, well, Pastor, the liberals aren't going to like it when Jesus comes and takes the throne. I know. It's going to be awesome, isn't it? I don't think the United Nations is going to like that very well. Amen. But they're not going to have a say in the matter. It's getting good, ain't it? Folks, the Lord's coming back. That's what's promised here. You say, well, preacher, how in the world is that going to happen? Zeal of the Lord is going to make it happen. Doesn't matter what Congress says, the zeal of the Lord's going to make this happen. Doesn't matter what Donald Trump says, but from what I can gather, Trump's going to be okay with it. Come on back. We need some help. All right, everybody with me now? So what's going to make all... Man, this stuff's divine. We're not talking about human stuff here. We're talking about deity stuff here. That God sent his only begotten son into this world. Wow. Men didn't have anything to do with that. That was all God's doings. That Jesus was virgin born and ended up on Calvary's cross and was buried in that borrowed tomb. Why a borrowed tomb? Well, he was only going to need it for 3 days. No need to buy one. He knew that. And they buried him in the borrowed tomb, and then he resurrected. That wasn't a man thing. That was a God thing. And how is this going to happen? Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. All right, everybody see where I'm going now? All right, now let me give you three things. This zeal of the Lord of hosts, this zeal will perform this. Why? Why is God so eager? Why is God so eager? Why is he so zealous? There's three things I want you to see. Number one, this shows us that God is eager to redeem our souls from hell. Why is God so eager to get his son here? Why is God so eager to provide us with a Redeemer? Well, the answer is because he loves you. And he knows the only way to redeem you is if he does it. And he performs this and sends the Redeemer. Folks, just think about all that God had to do in order to provide our redemption. I'm telling you, God had to be zealous in order to get this done. God had to be eager. He had to be fervent. God had to battle hard for us to give us a Savior. He has had to fight against the devil at every single step of the way. But God just kept pressing on. Man, he never let anything stop him. He never allowed anything to stand in his way. God's zeal never waned, never. You just think about 2,000 years ago, the first time Jesus came to this earth. You see, the devil knew he was coming. He may not have known exactly. He may not have known the exact moment, but he knew he was coming. The devil can read the Bible too. And he knew that the Redeemer was coming. So he had things ready for when the Redeemer was born. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the devil had an evil-hearted Caesar on the throne oppressing God's people, the Jews, from where this Messiah would be born. He had an evil-hearted tyrant who was placed by Caesar over Israel. His name was King Herod. And King Herod was doing all he could to kill the Lord Jesus before he ever grew up and went to the cross. You remember Herod had all the babies 2 years old and under slaughtered in Bethlehem, thinking that he would slaughter the newborn Messiah. And then God had to deal with the religionists of the day. They were trying to kill the Lord Jesus before he ever made it to the cross. They did their best to kill him before he could get to the cross. But the Bible said that the Savior, the Redeemer, had to go to the cross. God said so in his word. It was not good enough that they push him over the cliff like they tried to do one time. Oh no, he had to go to the cross, for the Bible said, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. God told us that Jesus had to die on the cross. And only the zeal, the enthusiasm, the fire, the passion of the Lord of hosts could have overcome all this opposition and make it happen and bring this to pass the way the Bible described. You see, folks, God knew, because God's the one that made the law. God knew that the wages of sin is death. And God knew that somebody has to pay your sin debt and mine. He knew that if we did not have a substitute to die in our place, that we would have to spend all of eternity ourselves in hell paying the debt that we owe for sin. God knew that. And so the Lord, and notice that word in verse 7. Notice that. The zeal of the Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God. The God of redemption. God's covenant name. The covenant that God made with man. And that covenant is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God covenanted with us, and the Lord was eager to bring this to pass. Nothing was going to stop God from doing what God said he was going to do, and that was send our Redeemer. You see, it would take the zeal of God to bring about this unbelievable promise. It would take the enthusiasm, the fire, the fervor, the eagerness, the vigor of God to get through all of these obstacles and bring this amazing plan into fulfillment. Folks, again, just think about the virgin birth. Virgins don't have babies. Can you imagine what Joseph must have thought here? That's why the angel of the Lord had to come and say, Joseph, everything's cool. That's in the Greek. But Joseph, you take Mary to be your wife. The zeal of the Lord's at work here. We know what we're doing. Can you imagine what Mary must have thought? Folks, think about it. If your 18-year-old daughter came in and said, Mom, I'm pregnant, but I've never been with a man. Yeah, right. And you're grounded for life. You see, it's just not natural. The only way this ever could have happened was if God made it happen. The zeal of the Lord, the eagerness of the Lord. Just think about the resurrection, folks. We have all been to too many funerals, and we have all stood beside too many caskets and by too many gravesides. We know how final death is. We know. We know that once you die, that's it. You're not coming back. We know that. The zeal of the Lord is what brought Jesus back. In God's plan, his Redeemer had to die. But in God's plan, the Redeemer also had to resurrect from the dead on the third day. How did he do that? I'll tell you how he did it. The zeal of the Lord did it. Because God was eager to provide you and me a way to have our sin forgiven. Second thing I want you to see, this shows us that God is eager to show us his wonderful Son. Folks, that's what 6 and 7 are all about. They're just all about God's wonderful Son. And the zeal of the Lord will bring this to pass. Why? Because God is eager to show us his wonderful Son. You know, we read in 2 Peter that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know, truth is, most folks want nothing to do with God. You know that's true. God, however, is eager to show the world what Jesus can do for us. We can look at the world and we can see what the devil has given us. Oh, death. And destruction and chaos and hatred and rioting and murder and abortion and racism and you name it, ugliness, the devil's given us all that. I'm telling you, folks, everything that the devil has given the world is just awful. Everything. We live in a world today that is just, it's just as evil as it can be. A world so divided, everywhere you look, people are fighting against one another. You've got Arabs fighting against Jews and Muslims against the infidels and communists against the capitalists and the left against the right and liberals against conservatives, and conflicts rage on and on and on without any hope of any resolution whatsoever. We are living in a world today where you never know when some crazy zealot is going to start shooting, or where somebody's going to strap bombs to their body and walk into a crowded mall somewhere. You just never know. But our text shows us just how God is eager to show us how wonderful it will be when Jesus sits on the throne and rules mankind. You see, from the day Adam sinned, God told us all the way through the Bible that the day was coming when the Lord Jesus would come back to this old troubled world and would sit down upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, and from that throne would rule the entire world. And when he does come, the whole world will see how great Jesus is. Isaiah tells us that in that day, in that time, the world will call him wonderful. Folks, I'm here today to tell you there are very few people that call him wonderful today. I do. And a lot of you do. But we're among a minority. There are folks today that use his name to curse, and they think it's hilarious to blaspheme in such a disgusting manner. But brethren, when he comes back and destroys the work of the devil and delivers men from Satan's evil oppression, I'm telling you, my text here says that men from the four corners of the earth will cry that the Lord Jesus is wonderful. Oh, we've been trying to tell him for a long time, haven't we? But when he comes and grabs the wicked one by the nape of the neck and by the seat of his breeches and hurls him into hell, the world is going to be so relieved, the cry around the planet will be, Jesus is wonderful. And for 1,000 years, peace will be seen on this earth. You see, folks, all we've ever known about man, all we've ever known throughout our history is conflict. That's all we've ever known. Nation has risen against nation, and tyrant tyrants have conquered, and dictators have never been happy with what they have, and they always want more. And folks, I'm telling you, the day is coming when peace is going to reign on this planet, run by the Prince of Peace. Man, I'm looking forward to that. Thank God you live in America, folks, because most of the world lives in constant fear of evil-hearted people who seek to control them. Thank God you live in this country. But when Jesus comes, finally the world will know peace. You say, well, I sure don't know how that's going to happen, Pastor. Well, let me remind you that my text says that the zeal of the Lord will bring this to pass. That's how it's going to happen. God's going to do it. You see, my text says that God is eager, he's anxious, he just can't wait to show you what his wonderful Son can do. He can't wait for you to see it. And he will eagerly put the government of the world upon his shoulders and watch as his Son brings peace to this old troubled world. Amen and amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think Congress is going to like that very much. They don't have a say in the matter. Pastor, I don't think Vladimir Putin's going to like that. Vladimir Putin doesn't have a say in the matter. No, sir. The zeal of the Lord will bring this to pass. Number three, you got to hurry. We're running out of time. Number three. The zeal of the Lord. What's this for? Well, it shows us, number three, how eager God is for us to live without Satan's constant influence. Man, I'm so sick of the devil, aren't you? I'm so sick of watching how he ruins lives. We had a fella in here this morning. I don't know where in the world he came from. He was so drunk. He could hardly walk. Came in here and sat right there. We were afraid he was going to throw up all over everything. That's how drunk this guy was. I'm so sick of seeing watching the devil ruin lives. I'm just so sick of watching him tear up homes and ruin kids. And I'm just tired of it. The zeal of the Lord is going to bring this to pass. Because God is eager for us to live without Satan's constant influence. You know, Paul tells us that Satan is the god of this world. And Paul tells us that Satan has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. He has blinded their eyes to keep them from seeing the truth. All the suffering, all the chaos, all the despair, all the mayhem, all the sorrow and heartache in our world today, it's all because of Satan's influence. Every human story of tragedy has been caused by Satan's evil influence. Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, Attila, the Hun, Lenin, Pol Pot. I could go on and on and on through history and tell you how millions of lives have been brutally destroyed by these wicked, Satan-inspired, evil-hearted people. All done by the devil's inspiration. But God is eager for the day when we will be able to live without Satan's influence. Oh, folks, just think of all the suffering that has been perpetrated by the hands of selfish and lustful and greedy tyrants. Even here in our own country, we have watched the lying politicians get away with bilking millions of ill-gotten dollars from our people. And we've been lied to about everything. I mean, that was, if anything else came out of this election, thank God that came out of this election. We've been lied to. Lied to about health care and lied to about why 4 American citizens died in Benghazi. Let me tell you something, folks. There's no statute of limitations on murder. This thing's not done yet. But the day is coming when Jesus will rule the world with justice. True justice. Not Democrat justice. Now you say, well, Pastor, with the mess we have in this world, I just don't see how anything can turn things around. Well, that's where my text comes in. The zeal of the Lord's going to perform this. The Lord's going to change this, folks. Don't forget who God is. He spoke and the world came into existence. Why, you want to try that? I remember trying that in school one time, trying to get that F to become an A. B and A. No, it didn't work. But God just spoke and the world came into existence. Think of that. He took a little dust from the earth that he had made and he fashioned a man. Wow. He breathed into man and man became a living soul. Life came into what he created. Wow. Then he put that man to sleep, took a rib out of his side and made a woman. Pretty awesome. He put the sun up in the sky. We don't see it around here very often, but he put the sun up in the sky. And then he created the planets and he set them all in motion around the sun. And when he was done with all that, he sat back and looked at it and said, "This is good." Oh, God was excited with all that he had created. God was excited about what he had made. And now, since Adam, we have struggled under sin's load. Since Adam, we have grieved and we have had our hearts broken and we have labored and sweated and toiled. We have had to endure all of the horrible effects of what sin brought into this world. But the God who created everything is one day going to step up and he's going to say, "Here, let me fix this. I am so excited to show you my plan. I'm so excited to show you that because of my son, you don't have to live under this awful curse anymore. And when Jesus comes back and sits on that throne, the curse is going to be lifted." Praise the Lord for that. The God that created everything is one day going to step in and say, "All right, that's enough. Let me fix this." And the Lord is going to fix it. You say, "Pastor, how's he going to do that?" Zeal of the Lord will perform this. God will do these things for us. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait. Can you imagine living in a world where peace abounds? Can you imagine living in a world where you don't have to fear what some evil-hearted thug might do to you? Can you imagine living in a world where you don't have to worry about disease or about dying? You say, "Well, Pastor, I just cannot imagine a world like this. How in the world is this going to happen?" Well, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will bring it to pass. God cannot wait to fix what the devil has ruined for us. And that's why my text says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is eager to do this. God is anxious to do this. Just like God is anxious to save your soul this morning. Just like God is anxious for you to get in the Bible and see how wonderful Jesus is. That's how anxious God is and how eager. Let me remind you what he said to Abraham and Sarah when he told them that the impossible was about to happen. You see, God put way back in Genesis this story about Abraham. And God did it this way on purpose. You remember way back then, God said, "Abraham, get up, get out, go to a land. I'll show you that land. I'll tell you when you get there that you're there." And Abraham said, oh, okay, all right. So he got his wife, Sarah. They were just young. They were just young. And they took off. And they went down to Israel. They went down to Canaan. And while they were down there, God said, okay, Abraham, this is it. Now I want you to look around. Look around. So Abraham stood and he looked around. And God said, everything you see, Abraham, everything, I'm going to give this to you and to your family, to your seed. You with me on that? And so Abraham said, wow, God, you're going to give me all this? Yep, every bit of it. It's all yours. That's awesome, God. But wait a minute, God, we got a little problem here. Now back up. You said to me and my seed. Got a little problem here because we don't have any kids. Well, trust me on that one, Abraham. Okay. So I imagine Abraham went running back and said, honey, we're going to have a baby. And she looks at him and says, not anytime soon, we're not. No, God said we were going to have a baby. Well, I'm not pregnant. Well, I'm just telling you what God said. And so the years passed. The years passed. Folks, years. And Abraham is now 99 years old. Anybody 99 in here? No, we don't make it that far, do we? That man was 99 years old. And his wife is 90 years old. And Abraham, 99, he's one more year and he's going to be 100. And he's praying one day and he says, Lord, do you remember all those years ago when I was in my 20s? You told me that all this land was going to belong to me and to my descendants. Well, now, Lord, I hate to remind you of this fact, but I am 99 years old. And Mom is 90 years old. If you get my drift. You with me? And what did God say? You see, folks, they had a promise. Just like we have a promise of a Redeemer. They had a promise. God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. When God says it, that's it. And God spoke up to Abraham over here and said, Abraham, let me remind you of something, son. With God, nothing is impossible. And sure enough, a 90-year-old woman had a baby. Don't you think that was the talk of the town? Man, everybody and his dog was talking about that around supper. She's what? She's pregnant. Yeah, right. She's 90. She's pregnant. I don't believe it. She's pregnant. You're nuts. That's not possible. Well, with God, all things are possible. And folks, the zeal of the Lord brought it to pass. And the zeal of the Lord is going to bring this to pass. The child was born. The child grew. He went to the cross. He died on that cross. He paid your price. He was raised from the dead. He ascended back to the Father. He's coming again, going to rapture the church, judge the earth, come back again with the raptured saints. We're going to rule and reign with him. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will bring this to pass. Folks, if I didn't believe it, I would shut that book, walk out this door, and never come back. But I believe it with every fiber of my being. And the zeal of the Lord will bring this to pass. Amen.